Well, we need the Lord to bless and His Word and to help us this morning to be able to bring forth what He would have. We'd appreciate your prayers. Have a burden to share with us concerning the importance, the need of consecrating to God's will. I'd like to begin in the book of Matthew, the 6th chapter. Matthew chapter 6, and beginning with the 9th verse. After this manner therefore pray ye, Our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. After this sort or after this manner, pray you. This is the way you come to the Father. It's not through vain repetitions. It's not through just a ceremonial approach unto God. But this should be the desire of your heart when you come before the Lord. He wasn't saying, I don't believe, when we come together and pray, that these are the only words that we're to utter before the Lord. But this is to be the manner, again, of our heart when we come before the Lord. And one of those requests, one of those desires that was foremost in coming before the Lord is, Father, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. And you know how God's will is done on earth? His will is already done on earth in the winds and the waves and the clouds. His will is already done on earth with the animals, the sun and the moon. All of those things of His creation follow the order of His will. But when I say, Father, thy will be done, it is for me to consent for His will to be done in me. That's not a consent that I can give the Lord on behalf of someone else, really. We pray for one another. But I can't really give the Lord the keys into someone else's heart and life, into those secret places where they alone do business with God. I can but say, Father, may your will be done here, in my life, in my heart, here on earth, as it is in heaven, for there we know his will is done. But we're not to wait for that time. Lord, have your will in my life. That is not just something that is a luxury, or when you really get close to the Lord, then you can start thinking about, Lord, have your will in my life. It is essential for God to have His will in our life. Matthew, the 7th chapter, says in verse 21, Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he that doeth the will of my Father which is in heaven. That's what the essence of it is. There's much that can be said about doing the will of God. And the scriptures teach us something about the will of God. This is the will of God, even your sanctification, I believe it says, that you should know how to possess your vessel or keep yourself from idols, things of that nature. This is the will of God, that you bring your thanksgiving unto the Lord. There are things that are expressed to be God's will for us. We need not stand back and wonder or question what God's will is, where it is already given to us in Scripture. I need not stop and ask the Lord, Lord, would you have me to live in adultery? I need not take the time, as Balaam did, to say, Lord, would you have me go and curse your people? As a special aunt of mine would say, hello. Of course that's not God's will. For His will is already expressed through His Word. Our eternal home depends on us doing the will of God from the heart. Not in word only, but in deed. To do His will. Jesus said, my meat is to do the will of Him that sent me. That's really what I'm here for. That's really what my purpose is. That's really what we say motivates why I do what I do. Why He was willing to come and give of Himself without measure. He came to do the will of Him that sent Him. Do you remember whenever He came down close to the time of His crucifixion? He said, what shall I say then? Father, deliver me from this hour. He certainly could have prayed that, commanded that. But He said, for this cause was I come into the world. This is why I came. This is my purpose. None of us are the Son of God. None of us can atone for the sins of others. But every one of us are here for a purpose, for a reason. And it's not to live unto myself, but to do the will of God in my life. The song we sang this morning said, to do Thy will, my highest aim. Thy smile, I believe, is my constant light. Is that our aim and our goal? Again, not in word only. Because it's easy enough for me to say, of course I want to please God. Of course I want to do the will of God. But in how I order my steps, in how I live my life, in the decisions that I make, is my purpose, is my aim to do the will of God. What about the will of God? Do we believe, as the song we sing from time to time says, God's way is best? And I believe that song talked about if I could think to see a way that seemed better. God's way is best if human wisdom a fairer way may seem to show. 'Tis only that our earth-dimmed vision the truth can never clearly know. If I had the choosing of my pathway, in blindness I would go astray and wander far away in darkness, nor reach the land of endless day. It's not in man that walks to direct his own steps. There's a way that seemeth right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. I cannot live as the world lives with the objective to do my own will, to have my own way in every aspect of life. We are not here to live for ourselves, but to live for the one who gave himself for us. But you know, it can seem scary sometimes. It can seem mysterious. What is God's will? And now I distinguish somewhat from what I mentioned. There are aspects of God's will that are beyond negotiation or question. It's given to us in His Word, His will, for for us to keep ourselves from the unholy things of this world. But when it comes down to, Lord, what about me? What about my life and how I live my life? Lord, what does it look like for me to consecrate to do your will? You know, human reasoning, like that song says, would cause most or all of us to want to say, Lord, show me the plans first. And then I'll decide if I'm willing and able to sign up for it. But Lord, I want to see all the terms and conditions. I want to know what the outcome's going to be. I want to understand all about this, Lord, before I can venture out. It seems foolish to human wisdom to do otherwise. Well, we wouldn't want to enter into a contract with somebody, some major life decision. Maybe it's buying a house and say, I don't even need to see the paperwork. Here are the terms. You just give me a piece of paper to sign and I'll sign my name. It would seem foolish. And indeed it would be. But it's not man that we're dealing with here. It is God above, in whose hands we are. And the question is, can I trust God? Yes. Can I trust the one who made me? Can I trust the one who died for me? Whenever it seems so dark and mysterious, the idea of God's will, whenever it seems so frightening to me, because I think of all the what ifs, can I truly trust the Lord to say, Lord, thy will be done? As we shared the burden last week, but if not, it's so easy for us to try to attach strings to our deals with the Lord and our covenants to God. I have certain expectations of the way my life ought to go. And Lord, as long as you kind of follow that path, I'll put my trust in you. But are we willing to give ourselves so wholly to God in consecration to say, Lord, I cut the strings. Lord, I remove the riders to the bill, so to speak. I remove all of that. Lord, I am yours. Do with me what you want to do. Lord, I give you a blank check in my life. Lord, you fill it out for the amount that you see as fit. Lord, I put my signature on it. And Lord, you have your way with the rest of it. That's where it starts to feel very, very nervous to us. But it really comes back to, can I trust God for my life? Can I truly trust that God has my best interest at heart? Can I truly trust that He cares about me? That's really the foundation of faith in God. Well, no man can come to God without faith. But you know, there is a place that the Lord wants to bring us unto of a deeper consecration in our lives. And I speak broadly of every one of us as God's followers. There will come places, and specifically a time after we have given our hearts to the Lord, that the Lord will call us to a deeper consecration with the promise of a deeper work of grace in my heart and my life. Am I willing to consecrate my all to the Lord? John, the 9th chapter, the 1st verse. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin? This man or his parents, that he was born blind? Notice they didn't ask Jesus, is this the case? Was there sin involved here and that's what led to this outcome? They were so certain in the reasoning of their own mind. There's no other reason for it. Why else would there be such a pitiful case? Why else would someone be born as an innocent child? It doesn't make sense to us. Have you ever found some of God's ways don't make sense to your human reasoning? And where we live, you ever find places that you think it just doesn't seem fair? It just doesn't seem fair what's happening in my life or in this person's life. Who do we think can better order our lives? We or God? And yet if we say God, do we live it? Do we live that way or do we live our lives even as Christians, trying to keep one hand on the wheel, just in case the Lord gets it wrong, just in case this thing starts to veer off track, I've got to keep a hand on the wheel here. I know the feeling. I've had two so far and another one coming before too long that have come to that age where it's time to drive on the roads. Y'all's time's coming. That's a scary time for a parent. But you know, there comes a time that you have to take your hand off the wheel. And I hope we realize there's a reason as a parent sometimes to have your hand close to the wheel. But we're talking about, again, God Almighty. Is it safe for us to turn the driving over to Him? And if we say yes, am I to sit over in the passenger seat nervous and, God, look out, right over there. Look out, don't hit that. Here, let me help you over here. Let's swerve around this. Do you realize what agitation of spirit we'll have in our lives? Do you realize the peace that we'll forfeit in our lives when we're not willing to let go? I say, God, you take over. Lord, you take control. Lord, you take the wheel. I'm going to sleep. Lord, you take it. You're the one that's in control. Jesus, whenever the waves were beating on the ship, he was able to go lie down in the ship on a pillow and sleep undisturbed. He wasn't afraid. He wasn't afraid of becoming victim of that storm. Folks, when we turn the will over to God, we don't have to be afraid of the storm. We don't have to be in constant mode of wondering, is this going to destroy me? Is this going to take me under? Lord, why is this man blind? It doesn't seem fair. And Jesus said, Brother Greg talked about perspective. You're looking at this all wrong. You're coming at this from the wrong perspective. God's ways are higher than our ways, and His thoughts are far above ours. Neither this man did sin, and his point here was not that these are sinless people and never sinned from the time they were born. That wasn't what he was saying or addressing. But he was saying this sickness is not attributable to sins. It's not a consequence of sin that either one of them committed. It is the will of God. For this purpose, this came on this child, that God might be glorified. Do you know for God to be glorified? He's glorified in the heavens. You look out in the night sky, and if you have a heart to receive it, you can but glorify God who made it all. But what about in our lives? What about that which people see in us? Are we willing to be that vessel to say, Lord, glorify your name in my life, whatever it takes. without conditions, no strings attached. Lord, however you can get the best use of my life. If it be life or if it be death. If it be sickness or if it be health. If it be prosperity or if it be poverty. Lord, have your will in my life. Lord, glorify, appoint unto me my portion that you see as best and needful. What is our ultimate aim? The comforts of life, or to say, Lord, I want to make heaven my home. Whatever it takes. Lord, send into my life whatever is going to be necessary to keep me on the straight and narrow way. Lord, that your name might be glorified. Are we satisfied with our lot in life? Or do I chafe and always seek a way out? There's a song that says, let me pull it up. If you know this, help me sing a verse of it. I have prayed some prayers, felt they never were heard, but I held to God's hand and kept right on trusting in His Word. My wants and God's desires don't always agree, but I lean on His will, for He always knows what's best for me. I can trust Jesus. I can trust Jesus. He never once has failed to meet my needs. He is my strong tower, the strength in my weakest hour. I can trust Jesus. He takes care of me. When my wants evidently don't line up with God's desires for me, what do I do with it? Can I say, I can trust Jesus? I can trust what He's doing. He cares for me. Folks, this is something the Lord has had in present tense, is teaching me, because this affects really every day of our lives. And there are times that I think that something ought to go a certain way in my life, even a business matter, or I found myself sometimes when I'm traveling and a flight is delayed or canceled, and my mind is, no, this can't be. I need you to find me another option. I need out of this city tonight. Here's what I need to happen. And I can get so agitated in my spirit and anxious about what's happening. And the Lord's had to check me and say, Clint, trust me. Even when it looks like things are going wrong, can we trust God? Can we take our hands off the will? Sometimes the hardest thing to do is to let go. Does anyone here this morning like the feeling of being out of control? If you're driving down the road and that moment that you realize, I am out of control, That is when I hit a patch of black ice driving on I-35 once in Oklahoma. Didn't see it. It was a nice, clear morning. And going up a hill, I hit that black ice in a rear-wheel drive. And I felt my car start fishtailing at 70, 75 miles an hour down the interstate. No more helpless a feeling. Nothing I could do would course correct. And I had to say, Lord, have mercy. And the Lord had mercy. Do you know sometimes in our lives, it can feel like I can't take my hand off. Things are going to spiral out of control. I can't afford to trust. Oh, we might not quite say it that way. I can't afford to turn this over to the Lord and trust Him with it. I'm afraid of what He might do with it. I can't consecrate wholly to the Lord. I'm afraid of what He's going to call me to. I can't let go completely. It might not fit with what my plans are in life. I'm not sure I'm ready to entertain the idea of what God has in mind. And so we can come to the Lord sometimes and almost play these little games of, Lord, I want Your will. Lord, work this out for me. Lord, as I want Your will, and almost to say, as if this is Your will, I want Your will. But consecration involves a letting go, a turning loose, and turning it over to God with the trust and the confidence, Lord, You know best. I've been challenged of late thinking of Abraham when the Lord called him to offer Isaac. How easy it would have been to ignore the voice, to say that couldn't be the voice of God, to decide to go the other way. But with calm confidence in God, he and his son ascended up that mountain. Folks, we can trust Jesus. We can trust God's plan for our lives. Look at what Abraham would have missed had he said, that's going too far. Everything else, You've called me to a foreign land. I'm willing to do that, Lord. You know that I followed You. But that's going one step too far. I can't quite go there, Lord. And I'm sure You'll understand, Lord. You realize what he would have missed out on? Going up on the mountain and right in the nick of time, seeing how God's hand divinely intervened and provided. And he was able in that moment to be a typical shadow of what God experienced and felt in offering his only begotten son. Had he drawn back? I want to look at Hebrews, the 4th chapter, to tie in with the thought of drawing back. The Lord has a plan for our lives, and it is a beautiful and a perfect plan. No one can better order our lives than God. No one can better order our steps than God. Hebrews 4. Well, the 3rd chapter, it says in 18, and to whom swear he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believe not. So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. There is a promise for us today, and it is a promise of a soul rest. It is a promise of a spiritual Sabbath, not one that's observed outwardly one day of the week, but a rest of the soul where we rest from our own wrestlings and wranglings with life and as a victim of everything that happens in life, to let go, to turn loose, to consecrate to God, and by faith turn it over to Him. And oh, the soul rest that comes with that. Oh, the peace that comes with being able to say, God, not my will, but thine be done. Lord, I'm turning this over to you and leaving it. We want too often as mankind to be micromanagers of God's work in our lives. Well, Lord, as if the Lord needs reminders, and folks, don't misunderstand, we are free and encouraged to come before the Lord continually to bring our requests and our petitions before Him. But I can assure you the Lord doesn't need my help to tell Him every step of the way exactly the Lord, you're making a mistake over here. Lord, babies can't be born blind. That's not right, Lord. You're surely making a mistake over here. But to be able to say, God, not my will. Thine be done. And to have the faith that I don't draw back from God's plans and workings in my life. His work in your life may be different than His work in my life. I'm not talking about the work of salvation, sanctification, but the way that He works and orders our step through life. Every one of us are on our own journey. And the Lord knows how to order our steps. Job said, He knows the way that I take. When I have tried, I shall come forth as gold. I've got that confidence in God that when it doesn't make sense and I can't see it and I can't feel it, Lord, You know the way that I take. And I've already given it over to the Lord. Don't draw back. Folks, I want to encourage us in our lives. Let's not draw back from a full consecration to God's will in our lives. Sometimes the Lord has to teach us more and more, deeper and deeper, what that means in my life. Folks, I believe from Scripture of a definite entering into an experience of sanctification and consecration. But I'm going to tell you, it doesn't stop on that day. I'm going to tell you, when you enter into the Canaan land, you're going from walled city to walled city. But that same consecration applies. Lord, here's another one. Lord, no. Lord, I give it to You. I'm not going to reach over and try to take control again. Lord, I gave that to You. This is yet another giant. This is yet another mountain that I'm facing. But Lord, I give it to You, and I trust that Your will be done. Let's not draw back. There remaineth therefore a rest unto the people of God. He that has entered into His rest, he also has ceased from his own works, as God did from His. Let us labor therefore to enter into that rest, lest any man fall after the same example of unbelief. Let's turn now to Matthew, the 26th chapter. Matthew 26. Thirty-seventh verse. And He took with Him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee, and began to be sorrowful and very heavy. Then saith He unto them, My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. Tarry ye here and watch with Me. And He went a little further and fell on His face and prayed, saying, Oh, My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from Me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as Thou wilt. Aren't you thankful that Jesus didn't end His prayer with just if there be any other way? Aren't you thankful He went all the way? Not my will, but Thine be done. And came again, found them asleep, and saith unto Peter, What, could you not watch with Me 1 hour? Watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. The Spirit indeed is willing, but the flesh is weak. This consecration will be a battle with the flesh. It will involve a battle and a dying out to the flesh, a dying out to what this carnal man craves for and yearns for, and feels a need to be in control of. And it is a coming to a place where I say, not my will, but Thy will be done in my life. He prayed again the second time. Oh, My Father, if this cup may pass away from Me, may not pass away from Me except I drink it, Thy will be done. You know, the Lord has a garden, has a cross for every one of us. There's a song that says, "Must Jesus bear the cross alone and all the world go free?" No, there's a cross for you and there's a cross for me. There is a cross for every one of us on which self must die. There is a cross that I will be called to take up and carry. The flesh will protest and cry, and it will involve a crucifixion of that flesh and of those desires, a dying out to my will and my way, and to say, "Not my way, not my will, but thine be done." There's a cross for every one of us, and there is a Gethsemane for every one of us. There is a place that the Lord calls us to get away. To get away from the noise, to get away from the anxieties, to get away from everything that's going around me and even people. This is a place that no one else can go. Jesus' disciples, he called, "Can you go with me? Can you watch with me? Can you pray?" And he left them and he went a little further. We're going to have to go a little further than anyone else can go for me. They may carry a burden. They may support. They may encourage. They may walk with me as far as they possibly can. But I'm the one that's going to have to be willing to go a little bit further, not to draw back in fear and in unbelief, but to be willing to go a little bit further, to fall on my face if need be and say, "God, I am struggling with this. I am wrestling with this. This is hard for me." It doesn't make you unspiritual if you have battles and struggles with the flesh and there's something that's hard for you to die out to. Go a little further. Fall on your face before God Almighty. And come to this place. Don't stop until you can come to this place to say from the heart, "Not my will, but thine be done." Some of the things that I've wanted to see the most in my life that I've come and brought to the Lord in prayer, praying about it. "Lord, I want your will to be done." I've had to pray to the point that I can have a peace about it not being done, just like a piece of it being done. And to be able to say, "Lord, I consecrate it to you. Lord, I give it to you. Have your will in this area of my life." Are we willing to go to that Gethsemane? Song number 220 says in our book, verse 2, "All the riches of this world I forsake, every tie that may bind, may now bind me, I break. No reserve now to myself will I make. Though I pass through flaming fire at the stake." Let's take note of that. "No reserve to myself will I make." Well, Lord, I'll let you plan these areas of my life, but I'm the one that's going to have to choose what career, what companion, what job I take, where I live. There are some that I'm going to have to reserve for myself. The stakes are too high. And I would say to us, the stakes are too high for us to take those kind of things into our own hands. Those are places that I cannot afford but to give them to God, to consecrate myself to God's will. You know, it's one thing for us to say when I have no other choice, when I am backed into a corner and I realize I have exhausted every possible thing I can do to get out of this corner. "Okay, God, have your way." If you're backed into a corner, amen. Let us say, "God, have your way." You know what we're talking about here this morning is really about not waiting until control is wrested out of my hands, but about me coming willingly to the Lord and saying, "Lord, I give you me. Lord, I give you myself, my purposes, plans, desires, thoughts. Lord, my intellect and my reasoning and all these things, Lord, I lay it on the altar. I give it to you. Lord, take it, use it, occupy this vessel and use me for your glory. Letting go and letting God. I think about as we close, Acts the 21st chapter. Acts 21 and 13. Then Paul answered. Well, I want to back up one more. When we heard these things, both we and they of that place besought him, Paul, not to go up to Jerusalem. There's too many dangers, Paul. Then Paul answered, what mean ye to weep and to break my heart? For I am ready not to be bound only, but also to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus. Folks, it's not written here, but I think it's safe to infer that Paul spent some time at his Gethsemane. That Paul spent some time on his knees to come to this place. That he felt a conviction that this is God's will for me. That it doesn't matter what dangers befall me. It doesn't matter what the outcome is. What I'm driving for is for God's will to be done. And right now, God's will is calling me to go to Jerusalem. Yes. And when he would not be persuaded. Oh, folks, and not to criticize the saints here with him by any means. But you know, there will be people who will try to dissuade us. There will be things and people, even well-meaning, that will try to call us away from our consecration unto God. From our purposes. Our covenants that we make with God to give ourselves wholly to Him. But it says Paul would not be persuaded. And when he would not be persuaded, we ceased, saying, the will of the Lord be done. You know, that's a good place to end. The will of the Lord be done. We can make our petitions and our requests. Lord, it seems like this is the way it ought to go. But there is a place that we've got to come to that we cease. There is a place that we're going to have to reach that I take my hands off and say, the will of the Lord be done. And that's where that place of peace and rest can come in. The rest that remains for the people of God comes at the point where I am willing to say, the will of the Lord be done. No strings attached. Whatever this means, Lord, whatever the outcome of putting this in your hands, I'm trusting you that it's going to be the best outcome. The will of the Lord be done. You pray for me. Amen.